You got a Bible this morning. Let's turn to Genesis 32. I won't share long this morning, but I just want to share some things. God has really been stirring my heart. As I said, I was really challenged in Sri Lanka and earlier the year when we went to the Philippines. We had a great trip there, but to go again to Sri Lanka, just the passion for God among the people. And I just know God is stirring us. I just see even amongst those young people who just want to get together just to worship. Now, they're not to getting together to have pizzas or whatever. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing good. Nothing wrong with hanging out and enjoying each other. But just the desire to come together and to pray. And I just want the Lord just to look into our own hearts today and just to check our own hearts about our own sense of passion for the things of God in our own lives. I believe God has been stirring us over a number of weeks now. We had a fantastic time. Remember, we had our own Grow conference. God was really stirring our heart. I believe God is continuing just to stir our hearts. So Genesis chapter 32, if you haven't already found it, I just want to read from verse 22 onwards. And we know this story well about Jacob wrestling with God. But I just want to have a look at it, just a couple of thoughts from this morning. And I know God has been stirring our heart, even in that worship time. That song is a brilliant song. I believe God wants something to rise on the inside, because some of us, we can stand there and we can sing, you know, the Spirit of God is within me, and we can do that. I wasn't looking at anyone, so this is you. I was saying, oh, he's picking on me, because I wasn't looking at you, I wasn't looking at anyone. I'm focusing on the Lord when we're worshiping God. But sometimes if we can stand there, if we're disconnected from that, I pray that God will change that within our own hearts, that something rises within our spirit when we stand and declare about the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. Something should just leap within us. Our spirit leaps within us. We can't be impassioned about that. We've got to be impassionate, to be full of passion when we sing that sort of thing. But let's read this from verse 22. Just, we know the background here. We know the story of Jacob. We know how he and his brother Esau. We know that Jacob had ripped off Esau. He ripped him off on the biggest thing he could possibly rip him off on in his entire life. He ripped him off on his inheritance. He ripped him off on his place as the firstborn. Jacob supplanted that role and tricked their father into that he was actually Esau. So he got the blessing. He got the double portion that would have gone to Esau. So we know that Esau was not a great fan of Jacob. In fact, Jacob fled his life after that incident, after he stole that birthright, because Esau wanted to kill him, which in the circumstances seemed to be understandable because of the deception, the betrayal, and that birthright that was stolen from him by Jacob. And so we know that Jacob had fled from there. We know Jacob ends up with Laban, and he ends up getting his two wives and accumulates some flocks and everything else. And after he leaves Laban, he's going towards the area where his brother Esau is. And so he knows he has to deal with Esau. He sends some messages along the way to Esau saying that we're coming along the way with great fear and trepidation, mind you. And he gets the message that, yeah, great, your brother Esau, he's coming to see you. And guess what? He's bringing an army of 400 men with him. And so he was not exactly feeling very confident, Jacob, at this time as he sent this message. So this brother who he fled his very life from was coming to visit him with an army of 400 men. So Jacob's pretty scared about it. He ends up dividing up everything that he has. He divides up his family in case, well, put us in a couple of groups. If he kills all of them, at least this half, maybe half of us can escape. He sends off a whole bunch of presents in front of him. And so he's making all of these plans, trying to preserve his life from Esau. And then we come to verse 22, which is where that encounter with Jacob. Jacob sent all his family across the river. Everything that he owns is on one side. Jacob has left him alone on the one side. It's just him on his own. And then we pick it up on verse 22 from Genesis 32. And that night Jacob got up and took his two wives, his two maidservants, and his 11 sons and crossed the ford of Jabbok. After he sent them across the stream, he sent over all his possessions. So Jacob was left alone. And he wrestled with him, and a man wrestled with him till daybreak. When the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. Then the man said, "Let me go, for it is daybreak." But Jacob replied, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." And the man asked him, "What is your name?" Jacob, he answered. And the man said, your name is no longer will be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with men and have overcome. And Jacob said, please tell me your name. He replied, well, why ask my name? But then he blessed him there. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, it is because I saw the Lord God face to face, and yet my life was spared. The sun rose above him as he passed Peniel and was limping because of his hip. And therefore to this day the Israelites do not eat the tendon attached to the socket of the hip, because the socket of Jacob's hip was touched near the tendon. So he has this incredible encounter with God, which we just talked briefly about in a moment. But it's just amazing how this encounter is a pivotal thing, not in the life of Jacob in so many ways. Not only in what it does in terms of his own relationship with God, but even his own identity, his own person. But also I want to talk about the effect that it had even with his influence with other people. Because after this encounter, after this incredible encounter with God, he has the encounter with Esau. And it's as if in the process of God, him wrestling with God, him encountering God in this way, we find that when he does eventually meet Esau, Esau sees him, and Jacob comes down, he bows down. 7 times he bows before him. But Esau, he runs and throws his arm around him and embraces him. And the two of them just are weeping, bawling their eyes out, this incredible encounter. And some of us have circumstances in our life and we're praying for answers and for circumstances that maybe seem impossible, even relationships that have been broken or strained. And quite often we spend a lot of time praying about, Lord, change the circumstances, change the things that are happening to me. But a lot of the time, the answer is actually contained in our own encounter with God. And as God does something in our life, it begins to unlock other things that affect our lives and our daily lives. And so we want to have a look at this encounter that Jacob has with God and his heart in that, where it says there in verse 26, the men said, let me go, it's daybreak. But Jacob replied, I will not let you go unless you bless me. I suppose the question I want to ask every one of us is, what is our tenacity? What is our hunger? What is our passion for each and every one of us? That every time that we come to God, what is our heart towards him? Lord, that we just cry out and say, Lord, I'm not going to let go of you, Lord, unless you bless me. How often do we can come? Well, so we can come to God. I want to talk about that aspect of worship. We know growing people, releasing ministry, outreaching globally and worshiping together. But part of that worship is the sense. Now, the worship we know is every day. I'm not talking about all of that. But certainly when we come and what is our heart of worship, whether it's on our own or whether it's together, what goes on inside our hearts when we're worshiping? What goes on inside our heart? Is it just we're looking at the screen? And sometimes the problem with the screen is it can be a focus. We can be more focused on the screen and the words and rather than what the words are saying and the meaning behind them. But what actually is the intensity of our own heart when we're worshiping God? Are we, and I'm not, as I said, I wasn't looking at anybody, and so I'm not picking on anybody today, but really, what is our heart? What is within our heart when we come and we're worshiping God together? When you come and we have these times, what actually goes on inside of our hearts? Is there that same sense in God saying, Lord, this day, today, now, Lord, I'm not going to let go of you until you bless me. I'm just going to hold on to you, Lord, with such a passion, such a desperation within my own heart, Lord, that as I touch you, Lord, and as I reach out to you, Lord, as I worship you, Lord, with all my heart and soul, Lord, I'm not going to let go, Lord, unless you bless me. Is that what's going on in our hearts when we're worshiping God? Is this something that says, Lord, as I lift my hands to you, Lord, as I worship you, Lord, I determine this day, I am going to connect with you. I can't say, oh, I don't like this, I don't like that, it's too hot, it's too cold, I'm tired, I'm this or that. Put any excuse, anything else in the way. Say, Lord, this day, Lord, I am not going to let go, Lord, unless you bless me. Lord, I'm not going to have come to church and to have worshipped you and to have left and, Lord, not have encountered you and say, oh, well, I didn't know the song. Nothing to do with the songs. It's nothing to do with anything else. Nothing else. This is us in our own heart. It's that determination saying, God, this day, Lord, I'm not going to let go of you, Lord. I want, Lord, you to bless me. I want you to touch my heart. And I believe God wants to stir and put that challenge in every one of us. there's something that within us that it's impossible for us to ever have had a time of worship in the presence of God, and one, to be disaffected by it, that we don't really even enter into it, but also that we encounter God. We say, Lord, I am not going to let go unless you worship me. Now, we can't necessarily look at somebody and judge them. You can't say, oh, well, someone is into it or not by what they're doing. You know, we've always got to be very careful with that. But I just encourage you that when we have those times, is that you with everything that is within, saying, Lord, I'm not going to, this time of worship, this time, now, today, because every time we open our hearts, the Lord is there for us every time, wanting us just to grab a hold of him. We don't have to fight. It's really not all that hard. But just to say, Lord, I'm holding on to you today, and I am not going to let go of you this day today, Lord. Now, even now as we're worshiping, Lord, you're going to touch me. I'm going to touch you. I'm going to be changed. I'm going to allow you to touch my life. To have that heart, or else do we just, oh, gee, I've been standing for 10 seconds. I'm a little bit tired now. You know, we let physical things affect us. We let distractions come. But I believe God wants to do something different in our hearts, to stir us such a tenacity that I will not let you go, Lord, unless you bless me. And I believe God wants to stir that we have such a heart in God. I won't let you go. And quite often, as I said, that when we're praying about things, we want everything else to change. But really, God wants to do something within us. And if you're half asleep, I encourage you, when you come to church, go to bed early the night before if you have trouble or whatever, but come to God and say, Lord, I am alert for you, Lord. I don't want to come to you, Lord, groggily, half falling asleep, Lord. I just want to be attentive to you, Lord. I want to wrestle, Lord. I want to hold on, Lord. I don't want to let go. Just put everything we have into worshiping God, everything you have. Because quite often we wonder why do sometimes circumstances change? I honestly believe that it's this encounter that Jacob had with God has actually changed the heart of Esau. Esau, as soon as he hears he's coming, first thing he does is muster 400 men. They weren't coming along to help carry things. They weren't coming along, you know, carrying, you know. These are 400 armed men who are ready to come, and they're coming for a reason. They're not coming just, you know, to play tiddlywinks with them or whatever. They're coming. But something happens, that the circumstances are changed. Even things around us, as God does something in us, God changes things around us. And I believe that the heart of Esau actually melts. It's changed as a result of this encounter with God. Something that happened between Jacob and God actually affected something externally, some things around them. And I just encourage us with that. Sometimes we're so focused on, Lord, change this, change that one. But really, God wants us just to just hold hold of him and to such a passion, such a tenacity. Lord, I am not going to let go of you, Lord, unless you bless me. Simply refuse. Say, Lord, I'm not going to go home today unless you've blessed me. Lord, I'm not going to come to church. I'm not going to pray at home. I'm not going to pray wherever you pray, whatever. Lord, I'm not going to stop, Lord, until you bless me, Lord, until something happens, until something changes in my heart and in my life. And obviously something changed dramatically in Jacob. God touched his life. And we've got to believe that whenever we're in a time of worship together, God wants to change us. It's not about us feeling good. Do we all feel warm and fuzzy and fluffy and wonderful? Well, when the love of God is there, it will affect our emotions. We are made emotional people, and we will respond that. We will feel the warmth. We will feel that and love that and enjoy the presence of God. But it's far more than feeling warm and fuzzy and to feel that. It's something deeper, something so deeper that fundamentally changes us. And certainly that's what we saw that happened in Jacob. As he was holding on to God, something fundamentally changed within him. It changed not only his name, but really his character, the person he was, his destiny was changed in that time, in that encounter with God. But how often do we come and we go, but we haven't really held on to God. We haven't really grabbed a hold of him, allowed him to do something in my life to change me, because we all need to change, every one of us. And I believe God is saying, just hold on to me. Don't let go. I want to do a work in your life. And as I work in your life, I'm going to change things around you. Things are going to change in your life. His whole name was changed. His identity, his destiny was changed through that time with God. And you've got to believe that when we come and worship God, God is changing something within us. If we grab a hold of him, if we're just, you know, just there, or maybe not even fully there or barely there, nothing changes. Everything seems the same. I don't know whether any of you have ever felt that. You feel like there's a sense of sameness about your life, about circumstances. Things don't seem to change. Like this week seems to be the same as last week, and that was the same as the other. And there's a sense of sameness in your life. And see, some people get very frustrated with their life because everything seems the same. Nothing really seems to happen. All the dreams and hopes, aspirations, those things don't seem to happen. Everything just seems to be the same routine, same. Nothing seems to ever really change. And the problem is that there's nothing ever really seems to change in our hearts. See, people go to everything. You know, let's go to Queensland. I'll make a change. So what do they do? Queensland, I don't know why. Queensland's warmer there. Okay, that's fine. So people, they run away. Let's go to Queensland. And they think going there, all of a sudden, everything will be different. Or I'll go to another place. I'll go somewhere different. I'll try this church, or I'll try that place, or I'll do this. I'll try that job. I'll do anything to make a change. But as many changes as people make, there's still something of a sense of sameness about it, a sameness that's in the life. And it's because the place where God wants to change is inside of us. The change is within our hearts. And as we encounter God in worship and intimacy, as we say, Lord, I'm going to hold on to you, Lord. I'm not going to let go of you, Lord. Do your work deep within my life and allow him to do that. That's where change happens. You become different. I become different. We become different people. But then even the circumstances of life can change around us. Esau is hell-bent on revenge. He's coming with 400 armed men. You don't bring that, as I said. They were coming for a reason. Esau, who had his brother who ripped him off, the ultimate rip-off in life, took his inheritance, his birthright off him, took his position, took the blessing, took everything that was his, rightfully his. His brother just ripped it off him. Jacob ripped it off him. He was pretty mad. He was seething mad. He knew that he was going to be killed, and that's why originally he fled for his life. But even as God changed him, God changed things externally. And sometimes we're praying, Lord, change this situation, change this circumstance. It's an impossible situation. This is a pretty impossible situation with Esau. Praying for, Lord, change it and do something, Lord. And maybe you've been praying for so many things for so long and say, Lord, what's happening? Nothing's happening. Maybe the Lord's saying, hang on, I want to do something in you. I want to change something in your life. And as I change something within you, as I change your character, as I change your destiny, as I change your future, I'm going to actually change things even externally to you. And I believe God wants to do that, is stir something in our heart there where we just say, Lord, I'm going to hold on to you. I'm not going to move, Lord, unless you bless me, Lord. I'm not going to let go. I'm not going to miss this opportunity. I'm not going to miss this Sunday. I'm not going to waste this Sunday, Lord, of coming and worshiping. Yes, and the word, it speaks to us. The word always speaks to us. The word is so important, but our worship is so important too. It is so important. You know, sometimes we come late because, oh, maybe, you know, it's just like, I don't know, it's the warm-up for the crowd or something. I've never thought of worship like that. Worship is so important that we don't miss any part of it. It's not just singing songs. It's not just songs. It's not just getting things ready. It's not creating an atmosphere ready for the word of God to come. That's rubbish. The atmosphere is right from the beginning because worship is so important. It's where God will change our hearts, that intimacy with God. It's not creating a platform. It is the platform as much as the word of God. God will change us in that time as much as he changes us through instruction of the word. And so I encourage us with that. Let's see the value in that. See the value in coming. Being there from the first song, from the first note, saying, Lord, from the minute I walk in that door, Lord, when the service started, I'm going to be here before the service. In fact, I want to be hungry to be here. But from when I come through, Lord, from the beginning, Lord, I'm going to grab a hold of you. Doesn't matter what's happened, you know, it doesn't matter if I had a flat tire or whatever on the way, we put everything else aside, saying, no, Lord, from the moment I come, Lord, I am determined, Lord, I am going to grab a hold of you, and I'm not going to let go. Lord, I'm going to worship with all my heart. Lord, I'm going to be so focused upon you, Lord. And this day, this time, right now, Lord, I'm going to let you change me, change my life. So Jacob could have just said, look, go away. I can't, I can't handle this angel. I can't wrestle with you now. Esau's coming. He's going to knock me off. He's coming with 400 men. See, sometimes we let the pressing problems that surround us. Man, he's in a grave situation here. Sometimes we let the struggle of the circumstances of our problems, we let that take preeminence over worship. Oh, I can't worship because I'm under so much pressure, such a heaviness. Just imagine if Jacob had said, look, off you go. Look, you know, I'm going for a rough time. I'm going for a real hard time at the moment here. I've got everything on the line. I may lose my wife, my children, my possessions, even my own life. And I'm going through a hard time, so I just really can't enter into that. And just let go. You never have got the blessing. But sometimes we can be like that. We let the pressing external things, and these can be big problems in our lives. You know, we face some pretty big things. I don't know how many of us are about to lose everything we had and maybe even our life. But we can allow the pressures of life to crowd us out and to stop us holding on to God and worship, to wrestle and say, Lord, I'm not letting go. Jacob didn't do that. He didn't say, oh, I better save my strength. I might have to have a big fight tomorrow. I've got a battle on maybe tomorrow. But he just held on to God and would not let go. And I'll just encourage you with that. Whatever problems or pressing circumstances, whenever you come before the Lord, whether it's at home or whatever else, don't let that stop you grabbing a hold of God and holding on and saying, Lord, this time, right now, Lord, I'm not going to let go, Lord, until you bless me, Lord, until you feel me, Lord, until you touch me, Lord, until you do something deep within my heart. Don't let the devil hoodwink you into that's your excuse. I'm in pain, so I can't worship. Man, that's the time to worship. Because in the worshiping with all your heart, that's where you find your healing will just come upon your body. Or the circumstances, worries, oh, just can't get it out of my mind. And just, so Lord, I'm grabbing hold of you and I'm not letting go this day. If we had that heart in worship every time we came, we would be changed inside incredibly. There's so much difference within our own heart. We really grow incredibly in God. But you'll find that things even external that just seem totally disconnected. What's Esau, the heart of Esau, got to do with Jacob wrestling? I think it's actually got a lot, everything to do with that. And it says later on in his wrestling, says in verse 30, it says, it's because I saw God face to face. There's something about seeing God face to face. Something about seeing him in all his wonder and his splendor that changes us. Changes our perspective, changes everything, actually. When we see God, everything changes when we see him face to face. Have a look in verse 10 when he talks to Esau. He says, for to see your face is like seeing the face of God now that you receive me favorably. I just believe that when we touch God in such an awesome way, it'll set things. God changes us. Things even external to us, things that are close to our heart, God begins to change in incredibly and powerful ways. Many of us, well, we don't wrestle for 5 minutes. Man, this is hard work, wrestling. I mean, when they're talking about them wrestling too, it's not just a nice little, you know, as you do with one of your kids or something. Man, this is full-on, hold on, all night, exhaustion. Full-on exhaustion. You wrestle all night, and you are tired. You are absolutely exhausted. And sometimes we get tired, and we think, oh, look, I'm just too tired. I can't do it anymore. It's too much. And we just, you know, just feel tired. I just can't do it. And so we let go. But no, we've got to hold on and say, God, I'm just going to keep pressing into you. I'm just going to keep holding on to you, Lord. I am not going to let go. I'm not going to give up. He certainly didn't give up. And so God blessed him. He did incredible things within his heart and within his life. The other thing that stands out to me is when he names him. It says, you've struggled with God and men and have overcome. So I believe that there's an incredible favor of God with God that comes, and also an incredible favor with men that comes. There's an influence with God in that he knows our heart as we pray and things are put in motion, but also an ability to influence even with the hearts of men. An influence. In different translations, this one uses the word struggle. He uses another word in other translations. But the sense is that there's an influence that we have. There's a strength, there's a power that we have. And I believe that more that we get closer to God, there's such a power that is released in our life. And your ability to influence other people. So we're all praying for our loved ones. We have the Book of Life Prayer, which I don't know where it's gone at the moment, but the Book of Life Prayer, where we've got the names of people that we're praying for. And if we really want to see them saved, then I would spend time in this intense times of worshiping God and seeing the Lord face to face. Open our hearts. Let's quickly just want to close with one more scripture, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. So it talks about seeing the Lord face to face. And we can actually see the face of the Lord because of our Lord Jesus Christ, because of what he did. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And read down from verse 6. So we have the ability to come to God, and because of what our Lord Jesus Christ had done. So it's 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and reading in verse 6. It says, "For God said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ." We've been singing about what is in us, his light that's within us, to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. We can look full on into the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that all this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. We always carried around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive have always been given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may be revealed in our mortal body. So then death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. It is written, 'I believe, therefore I have spoken.' With the same spirit of faith we also believe and therefore speak. Because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you in his presence. All of this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal." There's something about fixing our eyes upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And it talks about even the process of doing that. We go through difficulties, but they don't destroy us. And we will always go through problems because of a sinful world. But if we just keep pressing into God and allow him to change us, amazing things begins to happen. It talks about verse 15. It talks about the grace that is reaching more and more people. And I believe more and more God wants people to come into his kingdom. In fact, one of the things God has stirred my heart more than anything, just going into Sri Lanka, is just seeing people coming into the kingdom of God. As a church, we need to mobilize. We've got some great outreach programs, and those things are fantastic, all the things that we're doing. But the best outreach program we have is you and your life. It's what you, it's the people that God has placed you with. You may never come along to a program, but they're your friend, they're your relative, they're the people that God has put us in connection with. And it's the heart of touching them. And maybe there's people that you've been reaching out to, and it's just, man, what about them getting the saved? It's like they want to kill me. Like they've got an army of 400 people. Maybe their hearts are so closed off, and it just seems that your favorability with them, the influence with them of people reaching out for isn't there. I tell you what, if we just get so passionate about God in worship and allow him to do what he wants to do in our lives, we'll begin to see people that are just, how can they ever come to the Lord? You think this is impossible? You'll see them coming, and they just will come running to the Lord. And I believe that with such a conviction that God wants to do something. So I want us to stand this morning. I want us to pray. Pray that God does something in each and every one of us. That we're just going to have a conviction that says, Lord, I'm not going to miss an occasion. I'm not going to waste an opportunity, Lord. I want you to do something in my life, Lord. I want you to change me. And I'm not going to let go. I'm not going to walk into the church building and leave the same person. Lord, I want you to bless me. It's great that you're blessing this one over there. I praise God and bless my brother, bless my sister. But Lord, I'm not letting go, Lord, until you bless me. And I pray that God stirs that heart. Father, I just come before you now. Father, I know, Lord, that you're doing something within us. And Father, I know, Lord, that you've been building something steadily, Lord, over recent times, Father. Lord, that there's something that you're doing. And Father, I know, Lord, that the heart of worship, Lord, is something, Lord, that you called us to as a church, Father. Lord, to be a church that worships, Father. Lord, that we're not here about the songs, we're not here about the music, Father, Lord, we hear about the one, about you, the living God. And Father, I pray, Lord, that something would change within our hearts, Lord, that we'll be so desperate for you, Lord, that we will say every time, Lord, not just this day, but every time, say, Lord, I will not let go, Lord, until you bless me, Lord. I will not be satisfied, Lord, until you bless me. And so, Lord, I'm going to press into you, hold on to you with all my heart. Lord, I'm going to lay aside all the physical barriers, Lord, all the problems, Lord, all the thoughts, everything else. Say, Lord, no, I'm putting them aside. Lord, I'm going to grab a hold of you. And Lord, I'm not going to let go, Lord, until you bless me. And Father, I know that you're going to do a deep work in every heart. Father, I pray for every person here. Lord, let them always come with such a heart, Lord. Lord, let them come early, Father. Let them come hungry, Lord. Let us come hungry for you, Lord, and determine, Lord, no, we're not going to miss out this day. This day, Lord, I'm not going to let go. And Lord, unless you bless me, Father, stir that heart within us, Father. Lord, as you do that, you change us. You change us, but Father, you change things that are around us. You change things that are close to our heart, things that we cannot affect. But Lord, as you change us, Lord, that you change those things. And so, Father, I pray this day, Lord, our eyes will be open, Lord. There'll be something so deep within us, Father, that we'll be so hungry for you. Say, Lord, I will not let go of you. And Father, even this day, Lord, even now, Lord, this time, this day, Father, I pray that every person that is here determines, Lord, yes, Lord, I'm not going to let go. Father, I'm not just going to casually walk out, Lord, and go off and have lunch or watch TV or whatever it is I was going to do. But Father, this day, right now, at this time, Father, my determination, Lord, is that I'm going to touch you. So Father, I pray now, Lord, that you stir our hearts, Father, Lord, that you would touch us. Lord, let us be so hungry, Lord, as we lift our hands to you, Father, Lord, as we grab a hold of you, Lord, as we lift our hearts, Father, I pray, Lord, that you'll stir such a passion with every heart, Lord, and that you will change us, Father. Lord, I pray that in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Let's just sing together. Let's just worship him. Praise God.